Acts chapter 26, if you have your Bible with you and would like to follow along in the reading of this passage of Scripture that I'm going to look at, invite you to the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. Would you bow your head with me as I ask God for His help? Father, you've met with us this morning and we thank you. You've reaffirmed to us this morning that your grace is amazing. We can testify to its sufficiency, to its faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for the word that you've given us, for the truth of your word, the inspired word of God. As I open it up this morning, I pray that you would anoint your unworthy servant. Give me that anointing that is needed. Hide me behind the cross as I endeavor to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the divine be seen and heard and felt. May our hearts be convicted. May our lives be changed. It's all in Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake, amen. Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse number 24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The Revised Version said, With but little persuasion thou wouldst fain make me a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing, worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Now, I don't know what lenses you were looking through when I read that this morning, but if you were looking through the right lenses, right not meaning right and wrong, but the correct lenses for what I'm looking at, if you were looking through those lenses this morning, there is a single word that might stand out to you as it did to me, as it does to me from that passage, and in verse number 28, the word almost. The word almost means slightly short of or not quite accomplished. All but. The baby was almost asleep when the phone rang. The baby was almost asleep when someone pulled up and honked their horn. You know what I mean when I'm talking about that. Most of you remember the baby days if you're not experiencing the baby days. The baby was almost... There's a lot of sadness in the almost of life. The biggest of fish are the almost of the angler. Almost. Now, in this particular chapter, you go back to the verse number 1, and you see that Paul is having the privilege of standing before King Agrippa and speaking for himself. He says that I'm thankful for this opportunity to present it to his case to the king himself in his own words, and he begins to go down through a history lesson, and we find in the scripture lesson that we, or the portion that we've read, that that Paul knew and recognized that Agrippa was aware of all of these things that had transpired and that what Paul was reiterating. You come on into this particular passage, and he begins to share with Agrippa and Festus and those that are gathered around that he had an encounter with a bright light, and he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and Jesus spoke to him, and from that moment on, there was a change. There was a change in the life of Paul. Now we know, as we look back and understand and read the scriptures, we know that one of the things that changed was his name. He was known as Saul of Tarsus, and he was a man that was bold and boisterous, and he wasn't afraid to take things into his hands and to do what he thought was even the will of God in that time. God changed him, and his name changed from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle, as we know him. Everything about the life of Saul after this conversion experience, everything that he did, everywhere that he went, it seemed that there was one singular goal that was the focus of his life, and that was to lead somebody to Jesus Christ, to point them to the cross, that they would have forgiveness of sins, that they would recognize their sin and be found safe in the arms of the Savior, knowing that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You see, that was the focus of this man. Now, as he's standing before King Agrippa, he's expressing that. And he's talking about that. He's sharing with him that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. The Jews were trying to catch him and trying to kill him, and he had gone through so many things of trial and testing, of tribulation, of peril. Christ had been faithful to him. It must have been some kind of a testimony. It must have been some kind of a lawyer's testimony, because we find that in the first verse that I read this morning, that Festus, with a loud voice, he must have been caught up in the emotion of it. With a loud voice, he said, "Paul, you're mad. Your mind is mad." And he said, "No, most noble Festus, I'm not mad. I'm with all soberness of mind giving to you exactly, and the king understands it all well." I don't know where we stand this morning, where we are individually this morning. I could have a guess if I wanted to, but it really doesn't. It doesn't mount to much. My opinion mounts to very, very little in the scheme of eternity. But as Paul looked at the king, and I'm sure that he looked him right in the eye, and he said, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" And looking him in the eye, he did not even need to wait for an answer. He said, I know you believe. I know you believe. There's some things that we don't have to argue about. There's some things that probably everybody here, everybody listening to the sound of my voice this morning, either in the sanctuary, outside somewhere, or that possibly will listen onto an internet recording at some point, every single one would have some kind of undebatable beliefs that we all agree with. But you see, it's more than that, and Paul was pressing it more than that. There's something that goes beyond just simply the belief in God or the existence of God. There's something that goes beyond the realities of knowledge that Jesus died for sin. And Agrippa's answer was one of alarming aspect in the closing of this chapter. Almost thou persuadest me, slightly short of, not quite accomplished. Almost, the songwriter penned the words later on, almost but lost. What about the almost of your life? almost persuaded portions, holding back this and holding back that, that means that there's an almost involved. It's not quite there. It's not quite entire. It's not quite full. There's not been that entire consecration. There's not been that entire giving over. There's not been that entire surrender or that entire seeking of forgiveness for sin. There's a holding back of something. Oh, I think that there's a lot of speculation that we can look at in King Agrippa's life to come to some kind of a conclusion, but it really comes down to what our opinions are, what it would be that would have held him back. He apparently was aware of what was going on. He apparently understood and knew the circumstances, and he apparently understood that there was a grace available for him. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me." You go over to the book of Luke in chapter number 18, you'll find the story of a man that we don't even have a name to. We only call him the rich young ruler. And he comes to the conclusion that there was one thing, there was one simple thing that he was lacking, and it was too much to give. Because he walked away sorrowful. One thing thou lackest. Wouldn't it be a tragedy for any one of us this morning to stand before God and realize that it was one thing that we lacked? It was one thing that held us from the kingdom. It was one thing of disobedience. It was one thing of the rejection of light. It was one choice that led me down the path that took me away from Calvary instead of to Calvary. The almost of life, or the most saddening of all. One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. Almost. We go just a little bit closer to the end of the book of Mark in chapter 12. There's a little story, a little portion of the passage that is tucked in there tells us that there's a scribe that is wanting to have a little discourse with Christ. Maybe even, as I believe that it suggests there, that he was trying to corner Christ. He was trying to catch him in something. And so his question to Christ brought back a simple answer. And that scribe had to admit that Jesus answered it very well. And then the response from Jesus to the scribe is alarming along this same line, because Jesus tells that scribe who knew all that he could know to have the salvation that Jesus gave. And yet Jesus said to him so simply, you know, you're not far. You're not far from the kingdom of God. What does that mean? You're not far. Does that mean that you're in? Does that mean that you're at the gate? It's just a matter when the gates close, it'll shoo you on in. No, I think that the significant part is that this is an almost. This is something that he's almost there, but he's still out of reach. He's beyond. Wouldn't it be a shame for any one of us to stand before God and have to realize that we were so close? So close. I had opportunity and I turned it down. I had an opportunity and I rejected. I had an opportunity, but I did not yield. My choices led me away. My disobedience kept me from. My rejection of light darkened my mind. And so Agrippa's words sound in our ears this morning, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. I'm almost there. Paul, if you would talk just a little bit longer, if you would just share a little bit longer, if you would pray just a little bit longer, Jesus, if you'll tarry just a little bit longer, if you'll give me another opportunity, I don't want to right now. I'm almost there, but... We don't ever find that Agrippa ever turned his life around. There's speculation that the rich young ruler did, but it's mere speculation. We don't really fully know. The scribe, surely if he would have turned his life around, that it would have been pinpointed in Scripture. Because almost, you're almost there, not far from the kingdom of God. And so the voice of King Agrippa sounds to us this morning and beckons us from our place in the pew, almost persuaded. Nearly there, but not quite. And there's a great day coming. It is appointed unto man once to die. It is appointed unto man, and then after that, the judgment. Almost. The songwriter said in the closing of that song that she's playing, almost but lost. Almost persuaded. Don't let it be said that you are almost there, but not quite. Let's take our songbooks and turn to Psalm 330, and I want us to sing it together as we go this morning. If you're almost, if you're nearly there, if you've nearly come to the conclusion that you need to give your heart to Christ, or whatever the circumstance is of your particular world, of your heart, of your life, it's all individual this morning. I'm not talking about collective. This is individual choice. Why don't you come and meet with God? Let us pray with you. Would you stand with me as we sing this song together? Father in heaven, tried to deliver what you have laid on my heart. It's your kingdom. Father, don't let us walk so far away that we can't hear your voice. That we deaden that sense of your Spirit. Whoever this is for today, you pressed it. You pressed it on my heart. I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will be able to press it on all of our hearts as well. Go with us from this place. Allow the presence of your Spirit to go with us as well. Bring us back tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. You're dismissed.